Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Samach Aleph. You'll notice that most of this page is covered with Tanaic sources. The source that begins our shiur has a quote from a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Lamed Gimel. On the side of the Gemara, you might notice that we've written in that pasuk. Let's read the pasuk together. Once again, just to get a flavor of what it says, the Gemara will be breaking down this pasuk piece by piece, and in our markings, you'll see that we've underlined the different pasuk quotes in the Gemara text. So the pasuk itself reads, "V'chiper es mikdash akodesh." This is a pasuk from the Yom Kippur parsha, the Parshas Achrimos, which deals with the Yom Kippur service in the Beis Hamikdash. And it says that he shall mechaper es mikdash hakodesh ves oil moed ves hamizbeach yichaper v'al hakoyanim v'al kol am hakohol yichaper. What do these words mean, and the atonement that's referred to in the pasuk, in what reference is that? So the general thrust of the pasuk deals with atonement for occasions of impurity, of tumah, that may have occurred or one experienced and he had been in the Beis Hamikdash. In other words, it's forbidden for a person who is tumah to be in the Beis Hamikdash. And we will be getting into very specific parts of the Beis Hamikdash in this pasuk, and the Yom Kippur sacrificial service is designed to atone for that. That's a very general statement, and we'll see much more about that as we go on in the Gemara. Before we get into the actual text, let us just glance at the side. We have our Nosei Mivne heading, and a triangle is featured, and this is a Machloikis Tanoim. This highlights, and you'll see in the source in the Gemara's text, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's names are highlighted. They represent a Machloikis Tanoim, Ma Mechaper Ala Kohanim B'Shar HaMitzvos Chutz Mitumas Mikdash. Besides the issue of Tumas Mikdash, what atones for the Kohanim regarding the transgression of other mitzvahs, the bulk of other mitzvahs? The Tumas Mikdash is a specific area of mitzvah. What about all other mitzvah violation? What atones for the Kohanim? Two possibilities. Soyer HaMishtaleach, the goat that's sent away, the sent away goat, it might be the basis of the term scapegoat. It carries with it the sins of, in this case, not only the rest of the people of Israel, but according to this approach, the Kohanim as well are included, and it goes to a cliff east of Jerusalem where it is pushed off and meets its death, thereby atoning for the sins of Israel. And a second possibility, Par Kohen Gadol. The par, the cow that the Kohen Gadol brings, and we've seen extensive sukkahs concerning the cow offering, and the cow offering certainly atones for the Kohen Gadol, and it atones for the other Kohanim as the pasuk indicates. However, when we say that it atones for the other Kohanim, is that a reference to just Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, and it's clear that in that realm the Kohanim are separate, or does the cow atone for the Kohanim in other mitzvahs as well, creating a total division between the Kohanim and the rest of Israel, namely not only with regard to the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, impurity experienced in the Beis HaMikdash, but also atonement for other mitzvahs. We turn now to the Gemara text, Tanu Rabbanan. V'chiper es mikdash hakodesh ze lifnei ulifnim. That means that's a kapora for tuma that was experienced in the kodesh hakodashim. Rashi says that if some person had walked in there while tameh and was unaware after he came out, he's unaware that he was tameh, even though he may have known before he went in that he was tameh. So this serves as an interim atonement until he discovers it, until he remembers that he had been tameh when he was in there. That explanation is based on Rashi, who quotes the sugya in Masechet Shavuos. We continue in the Gemara, Ohel Moed. The Pasuk mentioned Ohel Moed as well, Zeh Heichal. That is the rest of the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal, which contained the menorah and the shulchan and the golden altar of incense. Mizbeach, the Pasuk says, Kimashma'o. That's a reference to the altar that stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. If someone was tameh while he was serving on the Mizbeach, this will atone for him. The Yom Kippur sacrifice will atone. Yechaper, that word is a reference to Elu Azoros, the courtyards, Tuma in the courtyards, HaKoyanim Kim Mashmon, atonement for the Kohanim, as the name says, the Kohanim, the Am HaKol, Elu Yisrael. Yechaper, the second Yechaper word at the end of the Pasuk, Elu HaLeviim. Hushvu Kulam L'chapor Achas, all of the Jewish people, the Am HaKohol, the Yisraelim, the Leviim, the Kohanim, are all compared. Shekulon Miskaprin B'Soyer HaMishtaleach B'Shar Mitzvah Averos. Divrei Rabbi Huda. This Pasuk that compares one to the other, that means that they are all linked together with regard to atonement outside the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashev, the realm of other mitzvahs or other offenses. With regard to Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashev, there everyone agrees that the Kohanim are split from the rest of Yisrael. But as far as other mitzvahs, Shar Averos, everyone is together. And the atonement is through the Sor HaMishtaleach. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon represents the split approach. Kishem Shedam HaSoyer HaNasa B'fni Mechaper Al Yisrael B'tumas Mikdash V'Kodashav. Just like the blood of the goat offering atones for the rest of Israel with regard to Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashav, Kach Dam HaPar Mechaper Al HaKoyhanim B'tumas Mikdash V'Kodashav. So too, the blood of the cow atones for the Koyhanim in the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashav. Ukeshem shevidui shel soyer hamishtalech mechaper al Yisrael b'shar aveiros, kach vidui shel par mechaper al hakohanim b'shar aveiros. Just like the confession over the goat is the source of atonement for the rest of Israel, the non-kohanim, with regard to their other averos, so too the confession over the cow offering serves as the atonement for the kohanim with regard to sha'ar averos, the rest of the sins. Using the markings, you can see we used a dot underline highlighting the expression sha'ar averos. With regard to Rabbi Yehuda, what took care of sha'ar averos for the kohanim? For everybody, essentially, the Soyer HaMishtaleach. According to Reb Shimon, what took care of the Shar Averos for the Kehanim? The Par, the Vidui on the Par. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue with another source, with another Pasuk that is quoted. On the side of the Gemara, you can see Vayikra, Perek Tazayin, again a Yom Kippur topic. Pasuk Chof, the Pasuk says, V'chila mikaper es HaKadosh, Ves oil moed, ves hamizbeach, v'ikriv es hasoir hachai. And you'll see that we underline the different parts of the pasuk as we go on in the source. V'chila mikaper es hakodesh, ze lifnei ulifnim. That's a reference to the blood applications that took place in the Holy of Holies in the Kodesh Kodoshim. Oyel Moyed Ze Hechal. That is a reference to the blood applications on the Porochis, in the direction of the curtain that was done in the Hechal, Mizbayach. The Pasuk made reference to the Mizbayach, Ke Mashmo. That is a reference to blood applications on the altar. Melamed Shukulon Kipro Kaporo Bifnei Atzmon. This shows that each one is a separate unit of atonement, separate set of actions. Mikan Omru. Based on this, the following is taught. Now, when we say the following is taught, Rashi emphasizes that this is primarily teaching that which the source will tell us on the first wide line, at the end of the line. You can see there's a double underline, Gomar es Hamatonos. We should pause for a moment and glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, because we're going to now encounter these different markings. The diamond that you see highlights the issue of Nishbach, Hadam Be'emtza, Matnoisov, B'mekoyim Hashoinim. The blood of the respective sacrifice. We have a goat offering and a cow offering. We've spoken about this extensively in the past number of Dapim of Gemara. So here we're referring to that blood, and it spills out in the middle. If it spills out in the middle at different places, and the diamonds highlight the different places, Bifnim, that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bahechal, that is the Paroches application, and Bimizbeach, the golden altar applications. And the double underline will highlight two different scenarios. Nosan Miksas, where he was in any one of those areas and he did part of the blood applications. Or we'll have a case where he finished Gomar Matonos. He did all of the blood applications in those specific areas, and then the blood spilled out before he got to the next area. So we have the source taught us that because the different areas are referred to explicitly in a separate form, you have the Kodesh, that's Lifnei Lifnim, Oyel Moed is the Heichal in Mizbeach, as its name implies. It tells us that each one is a separate area as far as Kapor, as far as atonement and blood sprinkling is concerned. And based on this, we will discover in a little while that if you finished one of the areas and the blood spilled out and you have to bring replacement blood, you don't have to start all over again. You pick up where you left off. This is in contrast to the case where the blood spills out in the middle of one of those areas. We know that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim there were 8 blood applications, and in the Heichal, in the direction of the Poroches, also 8 blood applications. Let's say after you did 3 of the applications, and the blood spills out, what do you do now? That actually will be a machloikes tanoim, as we will see in the source. So the source continues, Mikan Omru, Nosan Miksas Matonos Shebifni, Venishbach Adam. He did part of the 8. He didn't finish all 8 blood applications in the Bifnim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the blood then spilled out. Before he finished the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yovi Dam Acher, he has to bring new blood, and that involves slaughtering a replacement animal. V'yasru b'tchila b'mavtona shebifnim, and he has to start all over again with the Kodesh HaKadoshim blood applications. As Rebbe Lozer of Rebbe Shimon Oimrim, Eino Maschil Oli Mokom Shapasak. If he did 3 of the blood applications and he has to now fetch new blood from a freshly newly shechted animal, he'll pick up with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He doesn't do the first 3; he already did them. Gomar es Hamatonos Shebifnim. He finished the Matonos now in the Kodesh HaKadoshim v'nishbach adam, and the blood spills out. Yovi dam achir v'yaschil b'tchila b'matonos shebeichel. Then all he does is he picks up now with the heichel. He doesn't go back over the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that point is what the pasuk was teaching us, that each unit, each area is a separate unit. So that if you finish the Kodesh HaKadoshim, finish. You don't have to go back over that. And on that point, there is agreement. Nosan Miksas Matonos Shebeheichal. We continue with the spilling out of the dam part way through, and here we're in the Heichal applications, the Paroches applications. V'nishbach Adam, and after doing Miksas part of the eight, so the blood spills out. Yovi dam acher v'yaschu b'tchilo b'heichal. He has to bring new blood and start from the beginning of the heichal applications. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, oimim eino mascha olimokom shepasak. They say, like they said before, all you do is you pick up where you left off. Gomar matana shebeich v'nishbach adam. If the blood spills out after you finished the heichal applications, yovi dam acher v'yaschu b'tchilo b'matanos hamizbeach. After you get the new blood, the replacement blood, you pick up where you left off, starting with the Mizbeach Matonos. You finished the Heichal. Nosan Mitzas Matonos Sheba Mizbeach V'Nishbach Adam. After part of the Mizbeach Matonos were done, the blood then spilled out. Yovidam Acher V'Yaschu B'Tchilo V'Matonos Mizbeach. You bring your replacement blood and start with the Mizbeach from the beginning. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, Oimrim Mimokom Sheposak Hu Maschil. Once again, they are consistent. Pick up where you left off. Gomar matana shebezbeach v'nishbach adam. If after the altar applications, which involve four corners and seven on the tiharo, after you finish that and then the remainder blood spilled out, that remainder blood is called shirayim. It ordinarily would be poured at the base of the mizbeach in the courtyard, but in this case it spilled out before you got there. Divrei hakol, everyone is in agreement, lo ma'akvi, that the pouring out of the shirayim, certainly in the case where you don't have them anymore, they spilled out, that is not a binding facet of the Yom Kippur service. Omar Reb Yochanan Ushneim Mikro Echodor Shui saw throughout this source a machlokus between the Tanakamo versus Reb Elazar and Shimon on the issue of dam spilling out in the middle of one of the areas, where the Tanakama said you've got to go back to the beginning, and Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon said pick up where you left off. The Tanakama is referred to in the Gemara by name as Rebbe Meir. So the Rabbi Yochanan is saying that both approaches derived their respective stances from the same verse. What does the pasuk say? Midam chatas hakipurim achas bashana. Interestingly, this is a pasuk in Sefer Shmois, but it's a reference to our topic here of Yom Kippur. It says achas bashana, that clues you into something done once a year. Rabbi Meir Sovar, chatos achas omarti loch velo shtei chatos. Rashi explains that with regard to the atonement needed in the Kodesh HaKodashim, that can be accomplished only with one animal. Therefore, according to this approach, if the blood spilled out halfway through the blood applications in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and you would bring a replacement animal and pick up from that point till the end, you would in effect have two animals being responsible for the Kodesh HaKodashim applications, and that cannot be. That's Rabbi Meir's approach to the pasuk. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Savri, they hold chitui echod amarti loch velo shnei chituim. Chituim is a reference to the blood smearing or application that needs to be done. Chitui echod means For any given blood application, it's to be done once. You don't go back over that which you already did. Hence, according to them, chitui achas. Oh, if you have, let's say, eight blood applications done in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and the blood spilled out after number three, so you don't go back over them, because that would be a violation of shnei chituim. You did. If you would go back over them, then you've done the first three twice, and that is not acceptable as far as they are concerned, and the result being that you will need two animals to accomplish the applications in any given region if the blood spills out in the middle. You'll notice a star aside this brackets. This is a very long bracketed section, very great opportunity to show the power of Gemara markings and what we believe is the most important marking, the bracket marking. Look how far this goes. And if it's hard to see where the bracket closes, well, use the bracket length indicator. You'll see this takes you all the way down Amud Beis. What is going on over here? So in the note on the side, we have a starred note, and we've written Achrei Sograyim, after this long bracketed section, HaGemora Chozeres L'Inyonim Akshurim L'Nishbach Hadam. The Gemara will go back to the topics concerning the blood spilling out. B'soch HaSograyim HaGemora Dona B'lug Shemen Shel Metzora Shenishbach Be'amtza Ve'od Inyonim Hakshurim La'oshem Metzora. Within the brackets, the Gemara is going to get off the topic, completely off the topic, to the realm of Metzora and deal with the case where the oil application that's done in the Metzora and the purification process, what happens if it spills out in the middle. So the common denominator between this section and that which we learned has to do with spilling out in different areas. Just to clarify a little bit more, we said that after the bracketed section, the Gemara will return to matters that are concerned with the blood having spilled out with regard to Yom Kippur. Throughout the source of blood spilling out, we saw that you have to bring a replacement animal. The Gemara will be focusing on that case of what do you do with those animals that were brought as replacement animals, and you'll see, without getting into details right now, there will be extra animals, or let's say a lot of animal carcasses that are left. What do you do with them? And what different laws apply as far as Tuma is concerned? That, as we said, will be the subject of the discussion after the bracketed section. And again, to repeat ourselves, the bracketed section deals with the general topic of Metzora, and that's a different realm altogether. After the brackets, we get back to Yom Kippur-related matters, as we will, Mirza Shem, see. We have a topic heading also on the other side of the page under the Nose heading. Number one, Nishbach Lug Shemen Shel Metzora Achar Shenosan Mixas Matnosav. In achieving Tara, purification, the Metzora, who was a person who became Tomei as a result of a type of skin discoloration on his body, and there are of course other forms of Tzoras, we're not getting into that now. After the Kohen rules that he is no longer in the midst of his Tzoras, there's a waiting period, 7-day waiting period, and then on the 8th day after that waiting period, he brings sacrifices, and in addition to that, a flask of oil, or a measure of oil called Lug Shemen, is brought, and that oil is part of several different processes. First of all, the oil is sprinkled in the heichal. After that, the oil is applied to the earlobe, the right earlobe of the client, and to his thumbs, hand and toe thumbs, right thumbs. After that, there is an application done to his head. In addition to that, there is also an Osham Mitzora. The Mitzora brings several sacrifices, and one of them is called the Osham Mitzora. And the Osham Mitzora is a very unusual sacrifice in the sense that there is, in addition to the standard sacrificial blood applications on the altar, there is also blood applications to the Mitzora himself. The second point that we mention in this introduction is Matnas Shemen al Rosh HaMetzora Haim Ma'akvin. We'll be discussing that issue as well. The head oil application on the head of the Mitzora client is that a binding application? Is it ma'akev or not? And when we speak about ma'akev, the bottom line issue is, does he achieve full purification or not? And if he doesn't, so the outcome would be that he will not be allowed to eat from sacrifices. Only a Metzora, who had been a Metzora and then achieves full purification, only then would he be entitled to resume participating in sacrificial meals. Now let's turn to the Gemara with the reading through the bracketed section. Tanya, Omar Rebbe, Li Chilek Rebbe Yankiv Belugin. Very short source, we need to explain it. We must point out as well that there will be a restatement of this source as a result of a question that is posed in the form of a long Tanaic source that you can see. See the next frame, this frame source, which you can see lasts around 7 lines. Afterwards, the Gemara says, Eimo li shana Rabbi Yankov Belugin. And that represents a second version of this source. In the meantime, Rebbe tells us, and as we said, this is going to be redone later, but Rebbe says that Rebbe Chilek Rebbe Yankov, that means Rebbe Yankov, taught me a distinction between the topic of the oil applications and the oil spilling out in mid-process versus the way we were dealing with the blood spilling out in mid-process above with regard to Yom Kippur. Whereas, in the case of Yom Kippur, after doing partial application, we saw a machloikes tanoim, some saying that pick up where you left off, some saying backtrack, start from the beginning. Not so in the case of the Mitzora oil applications from the lug, the flask containing the oil, not so there where there would be a spilling out of oil mid-process. There isn't going to be a machlokes tanoim, but rather everyone will agree that you've got to go back to the beginning. We will see later that isn't so. But even in the case of the lug, there is a machlokes. And as a result of that, we're going to have to change this source. Instead of saying that li chilek, Rabbi Yankov, chilek means a distinction, but rather li shana Rabbi Yankov Belugin, meaning Rabbi Yankov taught me that there is a parallel to the Yom Kippur case we had before in the form of the lug of the Mitzora oil. Let's turn to the Gemara, but once again, this, as we have seen in numerous sugyas in Maseches Yuma, for many of you, these are first-time topics, new topics that you're being exposed to for the first time, and it might sound a bit abstract, foreign, unusual, and that contributes to the difficulty in understanding these things. All I want to do is say, have no fear. These are not complicated topics as far as the pshat in the Gemara is concerned. And only with constant review and constant exposure to these things do they then become almost second nature. All we are really doing is paralleling the spilling out of the respective liquids in the middle of the application process. How? What do you do? What are the opinions on those matters? That's all. Now we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Velo, is that really so, that there is a distinction between the way we deal with spilling out mid-process of Yom Kippur versus spilling out mid-process of lug applications? Are you saying that there is a difference? V'hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source. And you'll see how this source structurally looks so much like that which we had just before. Even without reading the text, just looking at the markings, it looks similar. Nosan mixas matanos shebefnim v'nishbach halug. If the after doing part of the matanos bifnim, now bifnim in the case of the mitzora means in the heichal, because we saw the term bifnim before referring to the Kodesh Kodoshim, but the Kodesh Kodoshim is a place that you go into only on Yom Kippur. So even though it's the same word bifnim, bifnim seems inside, and it's in both cases inside the enclosed structure of the Beis Hamikdash. Here, though, it's a reference to the heichal, and there were seven oil sprinklings in the direction of the paroches. What happened here is he did part of the oil sprinklings in the heichal, and it spilled, and the oil spilled out. Yovi lug acher v'yaschu b'tchila b'matana sheb'heichal. Bring another lug of shemen, a full lug, and start all over again. Rabbi Elazar v'shemen omri mimogu sheposeg v'maschil. Familiar, isn't it? Pick up where you left off. Gomar matana sheb'heichal v'nishbach halug. He finished the heichal matanas, and the lug spilled out. Now, we said before, maybe a little too quickly, but we said that in the oil applications there were several stages. In addition to the heichal, there's also the earlobe application, and then there's the bahonos, the thumb application, and a head application. So he finished the, in this case, he finished the heichal applications and it spilled out. Yovi lugach v'yas v'tchila b'matonos shebahonos. Bring another lug and start with the next stage, the thumb applications. Nosan mixes matonos shebahonos v'nishbach halug. Let's say he's supposed to do the hand thumb, the thumb of the hand and the thumb of the foot, and after he did the hand thumb application, it's the oil spilled out. So it's spelled out in mid-Bahonos process. Yavi lug acher v'yaschu b'tchila b'matan sheb'bahonos. Bring another lug and start at the beginning of the Bahonos stage. Rabbi Elazar v'Shimon Oimrim mimokom sheposak hu maschio. Once again, they say, pick up where you left off. You don't backtrack. Gomar matan sheb'bahonos v'nishbach halug. The Bahonos applications were finished. Then the lug, if it spills out, everyone agrees that the head application is not binding. And our mitzora will achieve his tahara, his full purification, even without the head application. Well, we see here that the Tanakama is arguing with Rabbi Elazar and Shimon just like he did in the case of the Yom Kippur blood applications. So what do you mean? What does Rebbe mean when he says that Rabbi Yankiv taught him a distinction? There's no distinction, it's perfectly parallel. Amal, so rather say, Li Shona Rabbi Yankiv Belugin. That means Rabbi Yankiv taught me this machlokes with regard to lug, just like the machlokes in our Mishnah with regard to Yom Kippur. Rashi says, Li Shona Rabbi Yankiv es hamachlokes hazeh shebimishnosenu belugin shel mitzora. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Mor, Matonus Horosh Ein Ma'akvos. The head applications are not binding. My taimo. Why is that? E lemo mishum dichtiv, if it's because, and when you see e lemo, you know this is not going to be an accepted answer, but got to play along. If it's because the pasuk refers to it, the head application, by saying v'hanosar min hashemen, and the pasuk says that the remainder of the oil after the head applications is then yitain. It says it goes on in the pasuk to say yitain al rosh hamitayer, is put on his head. Well, because it says v'hanosar, it calls it leftover, the remainder. It's kind of an offhanded reference to it, showing that it's insignificant. Is that really so, though? Elomayato. The pasuk, when the context of a meal offering, it says v'hanoseres min hamincha. The noseres of a mincha is the what we call the shirayim. Namely, if you have a meal offering to be brought, a handful of the flour is taken and offered on the mizbeach. The balance of that is called the shirayim. Imagine you took a handful, and before you put the handful of the meal offering on the altar, a certain amount of the Shirayim became diminished. Something happened to it. It got lost. Certainly if the whole thing got lost. Do you know that that meal offering is rendered void? It is ruined. So just because something is called noseris doesn't mean that it's insignificant, it's expendable. So the Gemara says, well, if you're trying to prove that the head application is expendable because it uses the word nosar, well, here, in the case of the meal offering, the same word appears, v'noseris min amincha, hachi nami delo ma'akfi, are you going to argue that it's not binding, and that shirayim that got lost before the handful of meal offering was offered, the meal offering is still acceptable? That's not true. It is binding. So what is the basis when it comes to the mitzora head oil application that we're saying it's expendable? Shiny Hossam, the case of the oil by the mitzora is different. Dechtiv, there are two words indicating leftover. It's a double nosar reference. And it's the words are umiyeser vehanosar, which means... Miyeser means the oil that's left over after the heichal applications. You have now left over, but it's relative, of course. It's left over from the first set of applications. Now, what is that for? That is for the bahonos, the thumb applications. After the thumb applications, what's left over is for the head. So the head application is called leftover of leftover. It's a double leftover. It's very, in that sense, it's very weak. And that's why the head oil applications are expendable, because it's a double leftover. Not so in the case of the meal offering. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Here we have a new topic, which takes us to the top of Omid, which we see here at the top of Omid Beis. On the side, we have written, Osha Mitzora Sheshachtoi Shaloi Lishmoi. A Mitzora, Osham offering that was slaughtered without proper intent. Shaloi Lishmo, this simple case of Osham, Shechtoi Shaloi Lishmo, I mean, while you were slaughtering the Osham Mitzora, you had in mind that it was a different carbon. You had in mind it was an Ola or a Shlomim. Haim zokuk lahavi acher. Do you have to bring a replacement sacrifice? Just a word of background, and that is that all sacrifices, with the exception of a sin offering, a chatas, and a korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan, all other sacrifices, if they are done shelo lishmoi, the korban is kosher. In other words, the meat can be eaten after their blood is sprinkled. However, the owner who is bringing it doesn't get credit for the korban. There's an element of, we'll call it incompleteness, that we can say with regard to such a sacrifice. So this Osha Mitzora was Shechted Shelo Lishmo. There's an element of incompletion, if you will, as we said. Namely, and we're repeating ourselves, the korban is kosher. However, the owner doesn't fulfill his obligation through it. The question now is, do you have to bring another korban asham? What do you do? The Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan tells us that in asham mitzora sheshachtoi shelo lishmo, we're at the top line of Amud Beis. He says bonu lemachlokis Rabbi Meir on the one hand, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon on the other hand. And we saw how they argued in the case of the lug shemen shel mitzora that spilled out in mid process. Rabbi Meir, the Omar Yovi Acher V'Yasra B'Tchila, Rabbi Meir, who in the context of the oil said that after doing part and the oil gets spilled out, you've got to backtrack and start all over again, Because an avodah that's not done in a complete fashion is it is as if it's not there. It's as if you did nothing. If you have to start all over again. So hachanami, so to over here in the case of a nishchat shelo lishmo, yavi acher v'yishchot, bring another one and start all over again. Again, it's this. We're paralleling the ideas of incompleteness with regard to the oil application. We know what the respective tanaim held over there with regard to this incomplete type of osham offering. Incomplete here, more in an abstract fashion, because of lack of proper or full intent. Lack of proper intent. So Rabbi Meir said that that something that's incomplete, that which is partial, is non-existent. So here too, the partially good asham is non-existent, and you've got to start all over again. According to them who said that which you did, the partial amount that you did is worth something, and just pick up from where you left off. He doesn't say that the partial is as if it's not there. Rather, the partial is considered as if it's there. It has significance. Hacha, in the case of the asham, ein loy takona. He has no solution. Now, why not? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Across from here, Ula Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon Damri, Mokum Shepasak, Mishon Lamaschil, Almo Lo Omar Kemanda Leso Damya. They don't say that the partial is as if it's not there. Hachanami, here too with the Osham, Hashiva Hi. It has significance. The Osham Mitzvah that was done Shelo Lishma has some significance. However, here is the problem. V'ef Shelagomu Ba'acher. You can't solve his needs by bringing another korban. Toksiv, the pasuk says keves echad osham. This pasuk is in the context of the mitzora. He brings an osham. How many? One osham. Osham echad amarti loch velo shtei ashamos. One and not two. And by bringing another osham offering, after having done the first one, Shelo Lishma, and saying, well, it has some significance, by bringing another one, you'd in effect have this person having done two Ashamas. Here you can't push off and say, like we explained before with the blood applications on Yom Kippur, and say, Chitui Echod Omarti Loch, and not Shnei Chituyim, which was licensed for picking up where you left off. That doesn't have any relevance over here. We're not talking about a blood application. We're talking about bringing another animal and slaughtering it. Hilkach ein lo takana. Since he's bound by the scriptural restraint, keves echad asham, this mitzora client has no solution, and he'll remain in a state of quasi-tumah and not be able to partake of sacrifices down the road. We turn back to the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Chisda attacks Rav Yochanan. V'ha oisoi ksiv. The pasuk says, v'hikriv oisoi li osham. This is found in Rashi. And the word oisoi is in the singular, and it sounds like one and not another one, not a second one. And that is even according to Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say that as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, there is a solution by his bringing a replacement asham? The pasuk would seem to indicate that even according to Rabbi Meir, that is not an option. Kashya. Well, the Gemara leaves that as a difficulty for Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan's presentation of Rabbi Meir, how does that figure in with the pasuk? However, you should know that the word kasha, even though it means it is a difficulty, it doesn't carry with it the same weight as another term you will find in Gemaras that run into problems, where the Gemara will use the term tiyufta, which is a total refutation. Here, it's a difficulty. And the reason we say this is because you have now a Tanaic source supporting Rabbi Yochanan's approach that indicates there is a Manda Omar, there's a Tanaic authority that says bring another one. Tanya Kavosei de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a source that shows that there is a Manda Omar that says you do bring another one, like Rabbi Yochanan explained in Rabbi Meir. What does the source say? Osha Mitzorah Sheshochta Shelo Lishmoi, a Mitzorah's Osham offering that was slaughtered without proper intent. Osha Loi Nosan Midama Lagabi Bahinois, or the blood wasn't applied to the Mitzorah client's thumbs. Hareza Oila Lagabi Mizbeach, it nevertheless is brought to the Mizbeach. The tone is Sochem, and it requires its accompanying offerings. That includes Nesachim will include a meal offering and wine, and Vitzorch Oshim Achir Lachshiro, and there is a requirement of bringing another Oshim for the Mitzorah's needs, for Machshir him, to enable him, to make him eligible for eating sacrifices. So in this source, it says Vitzorech Oshem Achir Lachshir. That sounds very much like Rabbi Yochanan and his Rabbi Meir presentation. The Gemara now turns to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, what does he have to say about this? Rav Chisda Omar Loch, my Tzorech. The word Tzorech that appeared in this source, Tzorech, Ve'ein Lo Takona. Yeah, he needs to bring another one, but he can't. So the word Tzorech is used sort of in a almost in a sarcastic fashion. He needs one, but he can't. The Gemara asks, "V'toni Tana Tzorch Vein Lo Takona?" Does the Tana speak in that form, in, as we said, almost sarcastic sounding fashion? The Gemara says, "In, yes, and there is precedent for that." You'll notice that we're labeling this a long answer. In other words, we'll have to go through a few lines to see this, but what we're aiming to see is the use of the word tzorich, and at the same time, the suggested solution isn't something you can really carry out. On the side of our Gemara, under our topic heading, we call this a subtopic, a tat nosei, ha'itochein shehatana toni tzorich. Would a Tana use the term tzorich, means it needs a takona, needs requires a solution. It states the supposed solution. B'davar she'ein lo takona, when the solution cannot really be carried out. And the example will be tiglachas avur nozir memura, the haircut for a nozir. A nozir is a person who took upon himself a Nazirite vow, which involves no wine drinking and no haircut taking. There are many more details, but we're being superficial for right now. And at the conclusion of the Nazir period, there is a requirement of the Nazir to shave his hair. What about a bald Nazir? Nazir Memura, a Nazir whose hair has been ripped out. What about the shaving requirement that the Torah prescribes? So let's take a look now in the Gemara. Nazir Memura, a Nazir whose hair is gone, is ripped out. Beishamay Omrim, Tzorech Havoras Tar. The Nazir needs to pass a blade. Tar is a razor blade over his body. Beis Hillel Omrim, Ein Tzorech Havoras Tar. Beis Hillel says, no need. He doesn't have hair to shave off, so why bother with the razor? The Omer Rabbi Avina, Kisha Omrim Beis Shammai Tzorich, when Beis Shammai says he needs to do the razor movement, all it means is Tzorich V'ein Lo Takona. He needs to do it, but it's not going to solve his problem. He's not going to really be able to exit his Nazir status in a complete way. So what did we see here? We see a Tanaic source using the word tzorich, and Rabbi Avina saying he needs to do it, but he can't do it. The basis of this is that when a pasuk says something, you don't have to take it literally. As Rashi says, he reflects the opinion lo bo'inon kra kidichtiv. We've dashed underlined that in the Rashi, so you can spot it easily. You don't require to take the pasuk literally where something cannot be done. So as far as Rabbi Avino's take on Beis Shammai is that when it says he needs to pass the razor over him, it means he needs to, but if you can't do it, so there's nothing you can do. There's no need to do anything. We've used a double underline to highlight Rabbi Avina, and that's because we want to contrast him with Rabbi Pedos. And on the side of the Gemara, we have under our Mivneh heading, Rabbi Avina and Rabbi Pedos are treated with this double underline. They will be arguing with regard to that which Beis Shammai just said, that a Nazir whose hair is ripped out needs Havoras Tar. Ma pirush tzorech? What does tzorech mean? Tzorech ve'en lo takona? Does it mean he needs to do it, but there's nothing he can really do? Or yavir tar al mokom shoyalo shoyabel sear? Or he does go through the motion of passing a razor over his skin where hair had been growing. We turn back to the Gemara. Upligo de Rebbe Pedos. That which Rabbi Avino explained in Beis Shammai is at odds with Rabbi Pedos' approach. The Omer Rabbi Pedos, Beis Shammai, Rebbe Lozer, Omru, Dover, Echod. Beis Shammai, Hoda Amoran. Beis Shammai, we saw. Rabbi Pedos says that Beis Shammai and Rebbe Lozer in a different context say the same thing. So, Beis Shammai, we saw. He said, Sorah Havaraz Tar. What does Rebbe Lozer say? Disnan. So as you say, Beis Shammai Hod Amoran, Beis Shammai we saw already. Rebbe Lozer, Disnan, Ein Lo Boyen Yad, Boyen Regel. Here we're dealing with a person who was a Metzora, but he lacks the thumbs upon which the oil and blood applications would be made. He doesn't have those limbs. Ein Lo Tara Lomas. So the Tanakhama says he does not achieve full purification ever. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Noisein al Mekoimoi Viyotse. Now we dashed on the Rabbi Lozer, like we dashed on line Beis Shammai two lines above. We want to tie them together. Rabbi Lozer says, okay, so he doesn't have those limbs, but you can do something anyway. Put the liquids on the spot that had been occupied by the Bohen Yad and Bohen Regel. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Nosan Al Shel Smoil Yotza. Rabbi Shimon says, if he's missing the right thumbs, which is the formal place for those applications, so if you put it on the left, you have also done well. What's the main point, though? Rabbi Lozer is dealing with a situation similar to the Beis Shammai situation. The necessary element is lacking. Rebbe Lozer says, okay, the necessary limb is lacking, put it on that spot. Beis Shammai says the hair is missing, so Rabbi Pedos will have you believe then that Beis Shammai means pass the razor over where the hair, where hair would have been. So according to Rabbi Pedos, if the Tana says tzorech, it means you've got to do something. Rabbi Avino, on the other hand, when the Tana says tzorech, it doesn't mean that you have to do something. And the basis of that is, as we started to say earlier, Rabbi Avino is of the opinion, bo'inan kra kedichtiv, lo bo'inan kra kedichtiv, and Rabbi Pedos says, bo'inan kra kedichtiv. And if the pasuk says, ve'viu sar al besarchem, that you shall pass a razor over your flesh, you've got to pass a razor over the flesh, even if there's no hair over there. We turn back to the Gemara, and we glance at the side, in fact, both sides. First, we have a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yudalid, pasuk Yudalid. When you see Perek Yudalid, you know that you're in the realm of the Metzora. And here we're talking about the Korbanos of the Metzora. The pasuk says, V'lokach hakoyim midam ha'asham, the Kohen shall take from the Osham sacrifice. V'nosan HaKohen al tnuch oizen amitaher hayimonis, v'alboyen yodo hayimonis, v'alboyen ragloi hayimonis. The blood is applied to the tnuch ozen, to the ear of the mitzora, his right ear, his right hand thumb, and right foot thumb. On the side of the Gemara, on the other side, that is, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written, Kabbalas Adam Shel Osher Mitzora Naasis Ayidei Shnei Kohanim. The blood receiving, in the case of the Osham brought by the Mitzora, we mentioned the Mitzora brings other sacrifices as well, but we're focusing on the Osham because of its unique blood applications. It is done, the Kabbalas Adam, the receipt of the blood, which takes place immediately after the slaughtering, that's to be done by two Kohanim. One is Echad Shemekabel Biyodo Lematan Oizenu Behoinois. One Kohen will actually be cupping his hand, and the blood will flow into his hand, from which he will do the ear and thumb applications onto the Mitzora client. So he's cupping his hand. It's a Torah-ordained human vessel, if you will. And as your hand is serving as the vessel for receiving the blood which will be used for the ear, thumb applications, and a second kohen ve'echad shemekabel b'kli lematan dam legabi mizbeach. A second kohen who will receive the blood in a standard receiving vessel, it's called a mizrach, which will be used for the altar applications, which is standard sacrificial procedure. But once again, we're repeating ourselves, I know, but the Osher Mitzora has a, in addition to the altar applications, which is standard form, it also has this unique blood application of ear and thumb. We turn to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, V'lokach midam ha'osham. That was the opening of Pasuk Yudalid, Yochol Bekli, when it says, and he shall take from the blood of the Osham. Does that mean he is going to be taking, it means gathering the blood in a vessel? Talmud Lomar, V'nosan. It says in the same Pasuk, just a few words later, it says V'nosan. Immediately after the phrase V'lokach ha'koyim midam ha'osham, it says V'nosan ha'koyim. Now, when it says v'nosan, when the kohen does the applications, the nosan, he gives over, he places the blood al tnuch ozna ozen on the ear of the mitzora. How is he placing the blood on his ear? Well, he's doing it. The kohen is smearing it with his hand on the mitzora's ear. Ma nesina ba'atzma shekohen, just like the nesina, the placing is done by the kohen himself, his own body, his hand is doing it. Af lekicha ba'atzma shekohen, so to the lekicha, the gathering of the blood, the kabbalas hadam, is done by the kohen himself. In other words, his hand. The blood flows into his hand. He cups his hand. In fact, he cups his left hand, and he'll do the blood applications using his right hand and smearing the blood on the mitzora's respective limbs. Yochol aflam is be'ach kain. Is this so also with regard to the osham mitzora blood applications to the altar? Talmud Lomar, the posuk answers, not so. Ki kachatas osham hu. The Torah compares the Osham to a chatas. A chatas is a sin offering. Ma chatas tunikli, just like the Kabbalah Saddam of a standard korban chatas demands the use of a vessel. Af Osham to'un kli, so too the Osham altar blood application demands the use of a vessel. Okay, so now what do we have here? We've got our Osham, the Osham Mitzora. We saw receipt of blood in the kohen's hand and receipt of its blood in a vessel. Nimseis ata omer, the result is that you are going to say osher mitzora shnei kohanim mekabelin es damo. The osher mitzora, its blood is received by two kohanim, echad biyad ve'echad bekli. One is going to receive it in his hand, and the other is going to be receiving the blood in a vessel. Zeh shekibol bekli, he who did the blood receipt while holding a vessel to receive the blood, balo etzel mizbeach, he will then approach the altar and do the blood applications the blood being contained in the vessel. V'zeh shekibel bi'ad, the Kohen who received the Osham blood while cupping his hand, Ba'alo, Eitz Mitzor, he approaches the Mitzora client for the ear and thumb applications. As you can see, maybe it's been a while, but here you see the brackets closes. This, of course, forces us to restate the general picture. Before the bracketed section, we spoke about the Yom Kippur offerings, the cow and goat offerings, whose blood was offered in three separate units besides the issue of the Shirayim. We spoke about the blood spilling out in mid-process. We saw Rebbe Meir saying that you've got to bring a replacement animal. And Rebbe Elazar Shimon saying, pick up where you left off. If it didn't spill out in mid-process, but at the end of any given process, so there's agreement you don't bring a replacement and pick up and go back, because you finished you finished that particular unit. Nevertheless, you've got to bring a replacement animal and shift it for the next stage. So, in that story of blood spilling out, there were replacement animals brought along the way. And you could conceivably have quite a few animals if the blood spills, if there's repeated spilling out of blood in the course of the Yom Kippur Matnas Dam, you're going to end up having a number of replacement animals. A number of carcasses are going to be left there. Now, we didn't tell you another facet of the Yom Kippur offerings, the cow and goat offerings. Those animals fall under the title of Parim HaNisrafim. It's an expression. It's a process that applies to a certain restricted number of sacrifices in the Torah, whereas a standard korban chatos, after it's slaughtered and blood is sprinkled, the meat is eaten. There are a couple of cases of a sin offering where the carcass is taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. It's taken totally out of it's taken out of Gimel Machnos, would be taken out of Yerushalayim, and it is, the carcass is burnt. Those animal carcasses convey tum'ah. Again, all of this is by virtue of psukim. They're not nevelos because they were slaughtered properly. Nevela is an improperly slaughtered animal that communicates tumas nevela. Here, this is a special kind of tumah that's associated with these parim hanisrafim. When we say parim hanisrafim, there's also seirim hanisrafim, the goats that are to be burnt. So it's reference to these special kinds of sin offerings. And we said that in principle an animal that's part of that category communicates tumah to those that are carrying it out to its burning site. Closer to home, we're featuring a scenario where there are a number of carcasses that have accumulated because the blood had been spilling out in the course of the Yom Kippur blood applications. And each time we said, you've got to bring a replacement animal to continue the subsequent stages. What is the din of all those replacement carcasses? So the source, Tanu Rabbanan, actually maybe we should read our topic heading on the side. The Nosei that we've written, Ribui Parim Usirim HaNisrafim Shiyom Kippur, Biglal Shenishbach Adam, the multitude of these animals that have accumulated, their carcasses now have accumulated because of the blood spilling out in mid-process. Ribui Sirei HaMishtaleach Ekev Shvichas Hadam, will also be discussing the send-away goat, the scapegoat, the goat that carried away the sins. You'll have a situation where there will be a number of them as a result of blood spilling out. Now, if the blood of the goat spills out, so I have to bring a replacement goat. Don't forget, I hope that everyone who's listening to us right now are people that have been listening since the beginning of the Masechta. Even so, it's been a while. When the goat offering was chosen, it was chosen along with a second animal, another goat that was called the Sar Mishtaleach. So how was the Sawyer that was going to be a Chatas Lashem chosen? It was chosen not just by pulling an animal out of the animal supply, but by having two goats present, and lots were drawn, and the lot that said Lashem was placed on the goat that would be offered as a sacrifice, and its blood is the blood that we have been speaking about all throughout today's year. The other one was the goat sent away with the sins of Israel. In a case where the blood, in fact, of the goat offering spills out, you're going to have to get a replacement goat. How do you do that? So you're going to have to, at this point, we're going to say, you have to bring two goats, draw lots, and one will be the Lazazel, but I already have a Lazazel, so from the original pair. Okay, but now I'm going to have another one. And that's because I need to choose a replacement Sawyer Lashem for its blood, i.e. it is sacrificed, its blood is received, for me to be able to continue the blood applications as we spoke about all today. But in doing so, I'm going to be drawing two new animals, and one of them, and this is going to happen each time, one of them is going to be a Sawyer Lazazel. So I'm going to eventually have a lot of these send away goats. What do I do? And that's what our note says in number two, Ribui Sira Mishtalech Ekev Shvichas Adam, numerous Sawyer Mishtalech send away goats because of blood spilling. Shemachayev HaGrola Mechodesh Kol Pam, each time I need to seek replacement goat blood, and in effect I'm doing a new lot drawing process, and that will produce each time a new Sawyer Lazazel as well. Let's turn now to the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonan V'kulon mitamin begodim v'nisrofin abeis hadeshen divrei Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon. All of them. What is all of them? That is a reference to all of those Purim and Seirim whose blood spilled out in mid-process, where I had to bring a replacement one, and that will result in a lot of carcasses. All of those carcasses are metamin begodim. That means that the person who carries them out, the person becomes tamei, and his clothing, the clothing that he's wearing, also become tamei, even if the clothing don't actually come into contact with the carcass itself. The fact that they're worn by someone who is carrying them out, the clothing become tamei as well. So all of them are capable of imparting this clothing tumah. V'nisrofen abeis hadeshen means that all of the carcasses are taken out of Yerushalayim, out of Gimel Machnas, and they are burnt on a special location called the Beis Hadeshen. That is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. V'chachomim omrim, ein metamin begodim v'ein nisrofen abeis hadeshen elo acharoin. They have a totally different approach and say that as far as all those carcasses are concerned, only the last one will impart this Tumas Begodim, and only it will be required to be burnt out there at the Beis Hadeshen, the special burning site. And why the last one? Hoyol V'gomar Boi Kaporas, because it was the one with which the entire Kapora atonement process was completed. Bomine Rova Mirav Nachman. Rava asks of Rav Nachman, when the Dam HaSoir spills out, and each time you're going to have to draw lots again, Kamo Seirim Mishaleach, how many goats are going to be sent away? Omar Lei, Rav Nachman says, V'chi Edro Mishaleach, do you think he has to send away his entire flock? the Torah says send away only one. So my answer to you is only one will be sent away. Omar Loi, Rava responds. If you're coming to your conclusion by saying, what, do you think he has to send away his whole flock? So I'm going to use the same license and ask you, we continue at the top of Samach Beis Omid Aleph, V'chi Edro Soreif. We had a Tanaic source in which the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon stated that you will burn all of those carcasses. So, is he supposed to burn his entire flock? In other words, the idea of multitudes doesn't seem to stop the Tanaic source from saying burn the multitude. So, I think there's room for saying that. And when it comes to the send away goats, so send away the multitudes. Rav Nachman says back, Midomi, how do you compare them? Hasam lo ksiv oisoy, in the case of the Nisrafim, burning the carcasses, it doesn't use the word oso, a word in the singular. Hacha, in the case of the Mishtaleach, the Sora Mishtaleach, the sendaway goat, ksiv oisoy, you have a singular expression. And the Pasuk says, l'shalach oisoy le'azazel. So the word oso indicates singularity. Only one is sent away. We turn to the side of the Gemara. We have an Osei topic heading. Beribui Mishtachim, in the case of the multitude of sendaways, when you have a lot of goats, that is, you're not going to actually, we just said you're not going to send them all away, but you have a lot of them there, Ezo Mishaleach, which one do you send away? Machloikis, there will be a machlokis in the Gemara. Shnei deos b'rova. There will be two opinions within Rava. And under the Mivne heading, the double underline indicates Shnei deos b'rova. You'll see Rav Poppy quoting Rava and Rav Simi. Rav Poppy on the second line from the top and Rav Simi on the third line from the top, both quoting Rava. And later in the Gemara, the house marking will appear. Ha'asvoros shel kolecha. They represent the explanations of Rav Poppy and Rav Simi. The Gemara. Itmar. Rav Poppy mishmei d'rava omar. Rishon mishaleach. When you have the accumulation of seirim ha'mishtalchim, you send away the seir ha'mishtalchim from the original pair. Rav Simi mishmei d'rav omar achron mishalech. He says the opposite, namely the last one will be sent away. Bishlamo Rav Simi mishmei d'rav. I understand his opinion, the omar achron mishalech. You send away the last one, kosovar, because he holds hoyol the gomar boi kapora. Because the blood applications were completed with its particular partner. The Sawyer Lashem that was used to complete the blood applications was the last one's partner. Ela Rav Poppy Mishmei Darava Michael Sovar. What is the basis of his opinion? Answer: Sovar Lo Kerab Yosi Domar Mitzvah Barishon. He adopts Rav Yosi's approach that says the primary way of fulfilling things is to do it with the first one, mitzvah berishon. The Gemara now asks, hey Rabbi Yossi, where do you see Rabbi Yossi saying mitzvah berishon? Now, when we ask this question, where do you see Rabbi Yossi saying that, we have to find a case of using the first one that is parallel to our goat situation over here. So it's important to look at things not just finding the idea of using the first one of a series of items. That's too superficial. We have to make sure that a parallel exists. Of course, what we're saying now sounds a bit abstract, but that will hopefully become clear as we go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara is asking, where do you see Rabbi Yossi saying mitzvah berishon? E lema, and the triangles, you can see Ilemo here, and a few lines later the word Ela, and on the side they represent Chippus Le'ezer Rabbi Yossi Omar Mitzvah Rishon. Which statement of Rabbi Yossi is serving as the basis for Rav Poppy's understanding? Ilemo Rabbi Yossi de Kupois Disnan. If you think it's Rabbi Yossi concerning the Kupos. Kupos are boxes. We'll see they're boxes of money. And the source it says as follows. Shalosh kupos shel shalosh shalosh soim. There were three boxes, each box containing three sa'ah in capacity. Shebohem tormin es halishka. The monies that were collected by the Beis HaMikdash, well, you see, the monies were thrown into a chamber. And this is a reference to the Masas HaShekel, the half shekel tax that was collected in the month of Adar. All these coins were brought to a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, and once the monies were thrown into this chamber, then boxes were filled with the coins. The Hoyakusav Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel. These letters were written. One box had Aleph on it, the second Beis, and a third box Gimel. V'tanya Om Rabbi Yossi. And another Tanaic source explains in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Lama Kosav Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel. Why did you have to put the letters on the boxes? Answer, Leida Eza Mehem Nisrima Rishon, Lavi Yemenon Rishon, Shemitzva Rishon. To know which box was filled up first. In other words, it seems that they didn't just throw the monies randomly into the three boxes at one time, but they filled up one box, and then filled up a second box, and filled up a third box. So the first box to be filled up was labeled Aleph. And why was that significant? To know that that will be the box, the first box from which monies are drawn for the purchase of the public sacrifices. Of that which was attained or acquired through these monies. What's the point for us, though? He says, Mitzvah Barishon. The Gemara says this does not parallel our case. Let's go over our case. We have a multitude Soyer HaMishtalechs in front of us. Now, how did they come to be? We should also point out, at what point is the Soyer HaMishtalech, when is it sent out? Well, it's sent out after the blood applications of the Soyer Lashem are completed. When do the Soyer HaMishtalechs become eligible to be sent away? At the time that the lots are drawn? That's not so. We just got finished saying they've got to hang around there till the Gemar Matnas Hadomim, till they finish the blood applications. So all the different Soyer HaMishtalechs that you happen to have in front of you, none of them become eligible until you finish the last of the blood applications of its partner. The Soyer Lashem. When is that? When that happens, they would all theoretically become eligible at the same time. So it would be accurate to say that the last Soyer HaMishtalech that came on the scene becomes eligible no later than the original Soyer HaMishtalech that was part of the first pair. What about in the case of these boxes? So the Gemara points out, Dilma beidnot is chazoi komaisa lo is chazoi basraisa. The reason by the boxes that it's so clear mitzvah rishon is because when the first box was filled, the second box wasn't filled. So the first box became eligible to be a source of drawing funds from it before the second box became eligible. So we give it precedence. Not so in the case of the goats. We just got finished saying that the goats become eligible to be sent away all at the same time. Well, under circumstances like that, how do I know? Why should I say that Rabbi Yossi will tell you Mitzvah Barishon? Ella, therefore we have to go on. Rabbi Yossi de Pesach. Desanya, Rabbi Yossi, as concerns a Korban Pesach. What is that? Desanya. Amafrish pishovi ovat. Vifrish achir tachtov. A person has set aside an animal to serve as his Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is a sacrifice offered on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. He set aside an animal to serve as that, and it got lost. V'hifrish achir tachtov. And then he set aside a replacement animal to be used. V'achar kach nimtza harishon. And then he found the original animal. Rashi points out, the achar kach nimtza rishon, o kodem chatzos d'ar basar, he found the original one before midday of the 14th of Nisan. By the way, before midday is a time that you don't offer any korban pesach. It's too early. Oy achar chatzos, or he found the original one after midday. V'kom Rav Yossi mitzvah rishon, and Rav Yossi will tell you, in this source that we haven't read it yet, but he'll tell you, you are to use the first one. V'afalpi shehufrush hasheni kodem chatzos, even though the second one was set aside, the replacement was set aside before midday. V'chimot chatzos trevayu is ichsu kiadodi, and when midday comes, and now you have both animals, you've got the lost one that you recovered and the replacement one, they become eligible at the same time. That when the time, as long as the time for shechting the Pesach hasn't arrived yet, even the first one isn't eligible. So in the Pesach scenario, you have two Korban Pesachs becoming eligible at the same time, parallel to the Sor HaMishtalech becoming eligible at the same time, at the completion of all the Matnas Dam. So let's continue with our source. We said, and the lost one was then recovered after you set aside a replacement Korban Pesach, or Eishneim Oindim, both are standing in front of you. The Chum say, pick either one. Either one is suitable. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Mitzvah Barishon. Vim Hoya Sheni Muvchar Mimenu Yevienu. Rabbi Yossi says, the first choice is to use the first one, the original one. Mitzvah Barishon. We dashed underlined, this is really what we are looking for. However, it does, Rabbi Yossi says that if the replacement animal is a choicer type animal, a better quality one, then use it. But we were looking for a statement made by Rabbi Yossi, Mitzvah Barishon, which parallels our case of the so'ir, the accumulation of so'ir HaMishtalechs, which would be the basis of Rav Papi. You can use, by the way, the star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll line it above. It's where Rav Papi said that his point is based on Rabbi Yossi, who said Mitzvah Barishon. These are parallel cases. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.